If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Well, hello everybody, happy Tuesday to you. Welcome to another wartime edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. We are broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And a lot of ground to cover, a lot of breaking news developments, a lot of White House officials, Marco Rubio, Pete Hegseth, and of course President Trump. We'll dip into some of those conversations as they happen in real time here on the program today. So there is growing angst among the MAGA influencer crowd, and this is now becoming a big issue. President Trump, by the way, has weighed in on all of this and said that he, quite frankly, doesn't care what Tucker Carlson is talking about, or Megyn Kelly, or Steve Bannon, or Candace Owens, or Nick Fuentes. Here's the challenge, though, and it's a problem that we have to talk about. Because these individuals represent upwards of 15 to 20 million conservative people, and most of those individuals are young people. And we're going to play some audio from something that happened last night on my Newsmax show. We had a Gen Z panel. These are very conservative kids. They are Republicans. They are in the movement. And they are very much opposed to what's happening in Iran right now. They have no idea what this has to do with America First. They have no idea why we're putting any sort of American resources in harm's way for the, in Iran. And they're blaming Israel. And when you listen to these young people, you're going to understand that these kids have no knowledge of history. They don't know anything about, oh, by the way, Matt Walsh, add him to the list now of people who are very upset at President Trump. But these young people, they have no knowledge of history. They don't know what happened in 1979. Let me just stop here for just a moment and say something. The problem we're having right now with young people not being knowledgeable about their history, that is going to bite us in the behind when it comes to 9/11, because I don't know of any schools out there that are doing a thorough job of explaining what happened on September 11th, 2001, when the Muslims waged jihad on American soil in the name of their religion, the so-called religion of peace. And I'm fairly certain if they do, they're not teaching the truth. And that is the truth of what happened on that day. And even on places like Fox, you're not going to get the unadulterated truth. And you know why? You know why? Because they can't handle the truth. It's true, they can't. But that's what happened. And when you look at what's going on in the Middle East right now, this is a war. This is a religious war. It is the Muslims versus the Jews and the Christians. That's at the heart of it, at the core of it. That's what all of this is. And to make matters even worse, I mean, for generations, hundreds of years, we've been able to fight these battles over there. But the Democrats and the kinder, gentler conservatives, that crowd, you know what they did, ladies and gentlemen? They thought it was a good idea to import that chaos into this country. And so now we've got mosques popping up on every street corner. going to be more mosques in America than Starbucks before it's all said and done. And then they'll outlaw Starbucks. So that's what's been going on in over the past 24 hours. I will say this, God, you got to love the Israelis. So they, the Iranians, they're in a world of hurt, folks, and they decided to get everybody together. This is what, 72 hours later, they got everybody together because we've already killed all of their leadership. All their leadership is dead. Boom, they're gone. Bye-bye. Ayatollah go boom, boom. So they get everybody together in this big building, and the whole point of this, the surviving leaders, and here's how bad it is. We're talking about probably, I don't know, the dog catcher of Tehran is probably the next guy in charge. So it's not like they've got a lot of leadership left, but the surviving members, they all got together in a building this morning, and they had to figure out who's going to be the next Ayatollah. Before they could even cast their vote, and that was the whole point, they were getting together today and they were going to vote. Israel blew up the building that they were meeting in. The Iranians are having the Ayatollahs are having a really bad day, courtesy of Israel. So anyway, look, here's the deal. Iran has slaughtered thousands and thousands of our fellow citizens, going all the way back to 1979. That's when all of this started, when the Iranian students stormed our embassy and took American hostages. For decades, they have been bankrolling very dangerous people that have been blowing up Americans. They blew up the Marine barracks in Beirut, killing hundreds of people. They have kidnapped Americans. They have tortured Americans. One of them, a CIA operative who was kidnapped and was literally skinned alive on video. Ronald Reagan was sent that video. This is the evil we're talking about. And I love Ronald Wilson Reagan. I love George W. Bush. H.W. Bush, okay, yeah, not as lovable. We read his lips, and he lied. But those men all had the opportunity to do something about the Iranians. They could have destroyed the Iranian regime. Instead, they did nothing. And as a result of doing nothing, they grew more and more powerful. And as we now know, from Steve Witkoff, who was the chief negotiator, the Iranians were very close to not making one nuclear bomb. No, they were prepared to make many, many more. Take a listen to Cut 6.
In that first meeting, both the Iranian negotiators said to us directly, with, you know, no shame, that they controlled 460 kilograms of 60%, and they're aware that that could make 11 nuclear bombs, and that was the beginning of their negotiating stance. So they were proud of it. They were proud that they had evaded all sorts of oversight protocols to get to a place where they could deliver 11 nuclear bombs.
These were very dangerous people, and no doubt about it, they were going to use those nuclear weapons to destroy Israel. I mean, that's the whole point. Here's the issue I have with a lot of these folks in the MAGA conservative influencer world. They're morons. But beyond being morons, they're being paid to share an opinion, right? This is all pay for play. You got the money, they'll have an opinion about it. So therefore, a lot of the people that you have learned to trust over the past few years, people like Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and Matt Walsh and Steve Bannon and Nick Fuentes, all of these people are being paid to deliver an opinion, which is why it doesn't. And if somebody comes along and they have a different point of view and they offer them more money, they will change their opinion. That's the way that it's a business for them. They don't care. And the idea that you've got conservative influencers that are making such awful statements, and we're going to play a lot of video here coming up, the fact that they're doing this while we have men and women in harm's way, that should tell you everything you need to know about these folks. Now, yesterday, we had a Congressman Randy Fine on my Newsmax show, and I asked him about Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who are out there making incredibly outlandish statements about President Trump. First, though, I want to play some audio from Tucker Carlson, who is now calling President Trump a liar. Tucker Carlson says the Iranian regime never plotted to assassinate the president. Take a listen.
Way to end that. So, Kennedy assassination, 9/11. But let's start with the purported assassination attempts on Donald Trump. Now, why are those significant? Because yesterday, the president of the United States said, I did this. And by this, I mean killed the head of state of Iran, the Ayatollah Khomeini. He tried to kill me twice, but I got him first. It's almost a verbatim quote from the president who thinks that. He's been told that. Get it. What do we know about that? Where did that intelligence come from that proved that the government of Iran, run by the Ayatollah, this religious leader, tried to assassinate the president of the United States twice? Do we know where that came from? Oh, it came from Israel. That's where that intel came from. Well, let's see it. Why not? At this point, he's dead. Why can't we see that? Oh, sources and methods, tough.
So there you have President Trump, you have Tucker Carlson calling President Trump a liar. Look, Tucker hates Israel, all right? He is a Jew hater. These people, they have no problem with Israel being wiped off the face of the earth. They don't even believe that Israel has a right to live and exist in the area it exists, a tiny sliver of land. That's what we're dealing with here. So Congressman Randy Fine from Florida was on the show last night. Here's what he had to say.
Joining us now, our good friend from Florida, Congressman Randy Fine. Congressman, good to have you with us. First, I want to get your reaction to the president's decision to go in and strike Iran.
Well, I think it's a decision 47 years overdue. But here's what's changed, and here's what Americans need to know. Iran wanted to create a nuclear capability and missiles that could strike the United States. What I believe is when someone screams death to America for 47 years, you should believe them.
Yeah, well, no doubt about that. And Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, enraged over all of this. Tucker calling the president's decision disgusting. What do you say to Tucker Carlson and MTG?
Well, I say to Tucker Carlson, go get the mental help that you need. I watched his interview with Mike Huckabee, and I thought the guy came away with two things. Clearly hates Jews, and he's sick in the head. So no one should listen to the guy. I mean, look, he said I should go and get a DNA test to prove that I was Jewish. And he said he was okay with his children being raped and murdered as long as it was done by someone under the age of 18. I mean, the interview was crazy town. As for Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's a quitter and a loser. I don't really care what she thinks. If she wanted us to listen to her opinion, she probably should have stayed in Congress.
Congressman, I want to switch gears here to what happened in Austin, Texas, early Sunday morning. FBI now investigating this horrible shooting as a potential terrorist attack. We understand the gunman, a Muslim migrant from Senegal, turns out he had replied. Is this true? He replied to one of your ex posts, and I want to pull that up so we can read it. When someone yells Allahu Akbar, there's a real chance somebody is about to get killed. It's not Islamophobic to say this. It's true. You still stand by that statement, sir?
Absolutely. And by the way, this terrorist in Austin who didn't like that I made that point, it is alleged he was yelling Allahu Akbar while he was shooting people. The full point is no one gets scared when someone says praise Jesus or Baruch Hashem. You just go about your day. But anyone hears Allahu Akbar yelled out in public and they're looking for a car to hide behind. It is true. The guy tweeted at me. And I think it's a little bit creepy, but that's what we're up against in this country. The bottom line is we've got to deport a whole lot of people at this point.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I just hope that we have the fortitude to be able to do that over the next couple of years. I've had a lot of lawmakers on my national radio show, at least two or three dozen, that have told me over the years, there are sleeper cells operating in this country. I'm wondering if you believe that as well. And if so, how much danger are American citizens facing?
I would challenge the premise. I don't think they're sleeping. I think they're open. I have seen imam after imam after imam, mainstream Muslim religious leaders today, talk about what a martyr the Ayatollah was, how they should hope that they die in the same way. A mosque outside of Washington holding a service for their leader, the martyr, the Ayatollah Khomeini. They're not hiding. They're not sleeping. They are telling us in broad daylight what they intend to do. The question is whether we are going to do something about it. And look, we've got to deport all of these illegal immigrants, but we've got to deport a lot of people who are here in this country legally as well. And I hope we get to that very, very soon.
All right. There you go. That was Congressman Randy Fine. I want to try something, an experiment. Dylan, turn your microphone on for just one quick second here. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Right. Praise the Lord. It's you smile, right?
Yes.
Shalom.
Yeah.
Yeah, you smile. Howdy do. Shalom, y'all. Allah Akbar.
Oh, gosh.
Dylan, you come up from your desk. It's true. Somebody shouted that on a subway. There was a couple of weeks ago, right? There was a subway. Somebody goes on to the subway car and shouts Allah Akbar, and people literally rush off of the train car. You know why? Because they didn't want to go boom. That's why. Congressman has a very valid point there. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, everybody, Todd Stearns here, and I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already, and at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing. And they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say Starnes, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Starnes. I know that many of you have some concerns about what's happening, why we decided to go into Iran, and what is it specifically that led to this moment. I am not all that worried about the timing of all of this, but there is some scuttlebutt out there. And are these comments made by Speaker Johnson and the Secretary of State Marco Rubio yesterday seem to lend credence to the idea that Israel was going to attack Iran, whether we agreed or not, Israel was going to do this. And so the thinking on the part of the United States was, all right, well, look, if Israel's going to do this, we know that when that happens, the Iranians are going to immediately hit American bases. So to prevent that from happening, the Americans said, you know what, we're going to launch a preemptive strike here. So we're going to, and it's really not a preemptive strike because, again, Iran has been attacking Americans for generations, and we haven't done anything about it. So that's the mentality here. Now, Megyn Kelly and MTG and Tucker and all of these folks, they're twisting those words, and they're saying, no. This was Israel. Israel twisted our arm and said, you are going to do this. So they're basically saying that Israel forced our hand on this, and that's not how I see this. So look, some of you may have questions. Some of you may have concerns. Some of you may think, yeah, this is the right thing to do. We certainly want to hear from you. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Big primary day, elections. We're going to be getting into this a little bit later on with our good friend Josh Jones. We have elections in North Carolina and Texas and Arkansas today. So we'll keep you updated on what's happening there as well. All right, again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here's something most people miss. Investors don't usually lose money because they're reckless. They lose money because they hear about opportunities after the biggest players have already positioned themselves. Major shifts often start quietly, in policy meetings, regulatory changes, and capital planning, long before they make headlines. Right now, AI isn't just a technology story, it's an energy story, a data story, an infrastructure story. And when government and major corporations move in the same direction, the biggest beneficiaries are often the financing and infrastructure channels behind the scenes. There's one opportunity built around that idea, designed to benefit from the AI build-out without trying to guess which company becomes the next superstar. To get the full breakdown, visit OxfordRetire.com. Again, that's OxfordRetire.com.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us, broadcasting noon to 3 Eastern Time, of course. By the way, some pretty exciting news. I believe April or May, they haven't settled on the release date, but my brand new book will be coming out. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And this is going to be a pretty lengthy book. I think 75, 80,000 words. And about a 300 pager. And it's going to be a lot of fun. All of my books are always fun. People, routine comments I get. Well, not routine. I mean, all of the comments are very well crafted and written, even the naysayers. But people say, you know what? I read your books and it's funny. I'm laughing, and I'm also encouraged by the end of the book. I mean, we go through a lot of heavy material, but at the end of the book, you're ready to, you know what, get up and go confront the day. And that's what I really hope happens when you read The Golden Age, because this book will be coming out as in the home stretch of the midterm elections, and we really do need to focus on what President Trump has done for this country and the work that still needs to be done. And all of that work will be for naught if we do not get out and vote in the midterm election. So The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. You can pre-order a copy today on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. You have a local independent bookstore. You can order it. It'll be in every bookstore in America. But we need your help in pre-ordering. The publisher loves to get those numbers up, so they have a pretty good idea on launch day how many copies they need to order. You know, somebody asked me one time, how many books do you sell? On average, the average book in America sells, I believe, like 500 to 1,000 copies. Our books on average sell between 35,000 and 40,000 copies. So we have a lot of readers, and we certainly love it when you guys read. I love it when you read my books. It's a great honor. And yeah, we'll be doing some book tours. We'll be doing some traveling with the book, and hope to see you out on the book tour a little bit later on this year. But when it comes to the midterms, there are two major elections, one of them being in Texas, where Republicans are about to send a message. And I am curious, with our Texas listeners, we have a lot of them across the state. The Senate race is facing a lot of scrutiny nationally, where the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, Ken Paxton is beloved by MAGA and by the president's supporters. And he is taking on John Cornyn, who has been in the Senate for, 24 years? And John Cornyn is a rhino. And there's really not a polite way to say it, but the guy's a rhino. a Republican in name only. And time after time, John Cornyn has had a chance to stand with President Trump, and John Cornyn has chosen not to do that. Of course, it was John Cornyn who earned the wrath of the MAGA crowd and the Second Amendment crowd with his vote on restricting gun ownership. So this is a big deal. It is a big race. Of course, Wesley Hunt, the congressman, also in the race, but it's going to come down to John Cornyn and Ken Paxton. And the question is, will Wesley Hunt's campaign, will that draw votes away from Paxton? Will it draw votes away from John Cornyn? Texas Republicans have, and this is from Politico, Texas Republicans have repeatedly elected John Cornyn to the Senate and Paxton as Attorney General, backing the leaders of both wings of the party. But recent elections have shown the growing strength of the MAGA faction. Paxton's reelections have been aided by the deep coffers of Texas mega donors like Tim Dunn and the Wilkes brothers, in addition to his hyper-conservative supporters. In 2022, he was challenged by Land Commissioner George P. Bush of the Bush family. Bush tried to sell conservative voters on his vision to restore integrity to the AG's office. Paxton had been facing years of investigations, bribery allegations, some personal issues. But many of Paxton's supporters say that Cornyn and the establishment are off the mark here. So there you have it. Very curious to hear your thoughts, you folks in Texas. Who are you supporting? Who are you voting for in today's primary? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. But John Cornyn, we have got to start sending a message to the Senate and to all the senators. And if they're not going to deliver on the president's agenda, they've got to be removed from office. It really is that simple. Bo French, we've had him on the show a time or two. He is the former chair of the Tarrant County Republican Party, and he's running for a seat on the Railroad Commission. He says, ideally, you want a saint to be your elected leader, and that is something we all hope and pray for one of these days. But until that happens, we need people who are going to be warriors for the cause. And Ken Paxton is seen and beloved among Republican primary voters in Texas as a warrior. Now, here's where Cornyn really gets me. In the Politico piece, Cornyn concedes that the composition of primary voters does not reflect his usual base of support. And a lot of this goes back to his decision to vote in favor of a gun control package after the Uvalde school shooting. But here was the quote, and this was Cornyn in an interview just a few days ago on CBS. And he said, if only the most radical people show up in the primary, then I think that's going to be a challenge. So I want to stop there for a moment. I've heard this language before. I'm reading this story, and I'm like, wait a second, where have I heard that? So in the political world, just so you are aware, in the political world, if you are a, I'm going to use a phrase, if you are a gun-toting, Bible-clinging, flag-waving patriot, if that describes you, then the people who run the Republican Party think you are a radical extremist. That's what they think about you. And they're sort of embarrassed by you. And that we call them the grassroots. I mean, you guys are the grassroots of the party. And this is just an observation, and I've seen this up close and personal in my own life. Have you ever had, Dylan, I don't want to put us on the spot, but I'm going to put us on. Is there a family member? No, we're not going to do that. Is there a family member that, you know, you're kind of like embarrassed by? Like,
can I just say yes and leave it there?
No, because it's me, isn't it?
No, it's not you. Of course not.
But you know, it's that one family member, and you're like, man, I wish they hadn't said that. Or, you know, you're out to dinner, and when you're out to dinner, I just like to order and have a good time. But then there's that one family member that's like, well, has this meat touched anything else in the kitchen? You know,
Wait, that sounds like me, honestly.
You know, it's that they just do stuff that embarrasses, and you're sort of embarrassed by your. That's what the Republican leadership thinks about all you MAGA people out there. That's what they think about all of you grassroots folks, all of you blue collar workers, even all of you middle class workers. They look down their nose at you. And their idea of the grassroots is to tell you people to sit down and shut up and do our work. Take the trash out. Set up the tables. Take down the chairs. That's their attitude towards all of you MAGA people. And that's not going to change. Look, I give a lot of money to the Republicans, and I support candidates that I believe in. Even I am treated that way because I'm not hoity-toity. I'm not a member of the country club. No, I just don't like that. I'm happy with going to church on Sunday and just hanging out and being a regular guy. But I'll never be considered the upper echelon, and I don't want to be, because I'd rather hang out with all of us. So our audience, that's what they think about our vast, massive talk radio audience, is they sneer at you. And that's the problem with the Republican Party, ladies and gentlemen. That, I mean, in a nutshell, that is the problem. They especially loathe all of you Christian people. They don't, and I've known that for years, but a lot of these religious liberty people that think they've got a seat at the table, they discovered they really don't have a seat at the table at the last Republican Party platform meeting, where they were told to shut up, sit down, and do as they were told. And I was getting calls from people that were in those meetings. They're like, Todd, I can't believe the Republicans are treating. I'm like, what, are you crazy? They hate you. John McCain, the late Senator John McCain, said that you people are agents of intolerance. That's coming from the man who was literally at the top of the presidential ticket, calling you good people, you evangelical Christians, agents of intolerance. So, no, I'm not surprised by that. I'm not surprised what John Cornyn is saying here, because John Cornyn is saying, all you people in Texas, all you people listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 right now, all you people listening to us out in the panhandle, all you people out there who listen to talk radio, John Cornyn thinks that if you believe in God and family and country, if you pledge allegiance to the flag, if you own a gun, then that makes you a radical person. By the way, same thing happening in North Carolina with your contest as well today. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones. Charles in North Carolina wants to talk about Iran. Hi, Charles. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. So, Todd, I remember 1979 in Iran vividly. I was a senior in high school. I graduated in 1980, and I remember the hostage crisis. I remember my class was the very first class that had to register for the selective service. Remember doing that? And I've listened to all the rhetoric and everything over the years, and I'm glad to see that the Ayatollah is gone. He's dead. With all that being said, though, Todd, I just really question whether this was the right thing to do. And the reason I say that is because we've been lied to so many times before. I mean, we know that there's a military-industrial complex. They lied to get us in a war in Vietnam. They lied to get us in a war in Iraq in 2003. When I look and watch Fox News, it's 24 hours. I see the same people like John Cornyn and Lindsey Graham and the war hawks that have voted for perpetual war. They're the ones, you know, that they're highlighting and profiling. And while I think the Ayatollah and Iran is a bad regime, I just really question whether this was the right time to do this. And, you know, when I heard about this morning about their ballistic missile capability in the United States, Todd, I got to be honest. I just don't believe that, because a missile to go from Iran to the United States, you're talking about an ICBM a 9,000-mile ICBM, and I just don't think that they had that capability. I mean, the Russians, that's longer than what the Russians will take to shoot us.
Let me jump in here. Let me jump in here for a second. So I will say this. I have been surprised by the lack of a response from Iran. Now, it could be that we completely and totally took them by surprise. And we clearly have air superiority now. But the fact that we were able to destroy their Air Force and their Navy in under 48 hours was really a remarkable thing. And to your point, if in fact they were the threat to the world that they were, you know, alleged to have been from, this is coming from our government and from Israel, I sort of expected them to put up something more of a fight.
Exactly. Just like in 2003, we were told that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, that he had the fourth largest army in the world. He was going to invade Europe. I mean, all these, you talk about hyperbole, and none of that materialized. But Todd, I'm just afraid, and I hope I'm wrong, I think we're getting ready to get involved in a major ground war and occupation in Iran. And if that happens, I think politically Trump and the MAGA movement is going to be toast.
Oh, but, well, let me say that. If we have boots on the ground in Iran, it's over. I do not support that. And again, because this was not supposed to be about regime change, and they're saying it's not about regime change. My question look, I support what the president has done. I support my president on this, Charles. But I will say this, had I been a reporter in the room and they said it was not about regime change, my first question would have been, then why did you target the meeting where all of the regime was meeting?
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what it's about. And as far as these other accusations go, is it too much to ask for them to submit proof and documentation that they're this major threat? I mean, you know, they tried in 2003, the Iraqis offered the weapons inspectors to come in and inspect the sites, and W was so hell-bent on going to war in Iraq, he wasn't even going to take that as proof. But I just think we've got 20 million illegal aliens in this country. We've got elections that are not secure. We've got young people being indoctrinated with this communism and radical Islamist jihadists roaming our cities right now. And I just think that all of that combined is a whole hell of a lot more important than Iran right now.
And something tells me, hold on. And something tells me that you may have the majority opinion right now within the conservative movement. I may be in the minority here. I am trusting my president. I am stepping out in a moment of faith and trusting my president. Also going back to the fact that we've been at war with these people. It's been a cold war, but we've been in a war with these people since 1979. And this threat should have been taken care of back then, but they just kept kicking it down the road. I've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know, but let me ask this. Do you think it's possible that the president has gotten some bad advice? Because there's a faction in the Republican Party and the globalists that have wanted us to be involved militarily around the world, no matter where, no matter what. It's been Ukraine. It's been the Middle East. I mean, it's just everywhere. And that's what we vote. We didn't, you know, we voted for no more foreign wars, you know.
It's possible, it is possible to answer your question. It is possible that he was fed bad information. To your point, this was supposed to be a domestic presidency, and it is focused pretty much entirely on international affairs. I do believe, to your point, that we have got to ramp up the deportation efforts. We got to do it. Charles, I got to run. I am so sorry. Folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Here's something most people miss. Investors don't usually lose money because they're reckless. They lose money because they hear about opportunities after the biggest players have already positioned themselves. Major shifts often start quietly in policy meetings, regulatory changes, and capital planning long before they make headlines. Right now, AI isn't just a technology story, it's an energy story. a data story, an infrastructure story. And when government and major corporations move in the same direction, the biggest beneficiaries are often the financing and infrastructure channels behind the scenes. There's one opportunity built around that idea, designed to benefit from the AI build-out without trying to guess which company becomes the next superstar. To get the full breakdown, visit OxfordRetire.com. Again, that's OxfordRetire.com.
All right, coming up, Senator Tom Tillis makes a complete ass of himself. We're going to have we've got the audio. I've never heard a man scream like that at a woman. You folks in North Carolina should be really embarrassed by your senator. So we'll get to that coming up after the break. Also, President Trump answering reporters from questions. We're going to play some of that. And we have managed our great CIA asset, Paul Shanklin. We're the only talk radio program in America with a CIA asset. He was able to intercept a message from Barack Hussein Obama to the Iranians. We're going to play that exclusive audio coming up after the break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Sirens. Sirens now sounding over Tel Aviv. Another barrage of missiles and rockets and drones coming from Iran. We'll keep you updated on the very latest there. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And we start in North Carolina right now, where Election Day, Tom Tillis, who is your senator, is really making an ass of himself on Capitol Hill. Now, keep in mind that the U.S. Senate has yet to pass the Save America Act. The Senate doing its best to sabotage President Trump's agenda. And Tom Tillis has been a big part of that. He is retiring. He is supposedly a Republican. But this guy is just he's nothing more than a jerk. Have you ever seen, I don't know, what was it? I was watching something the other night, and there was a bar scene. And what was that TV show? It'll come to me. Anyway, the gist of it is that there was a guy there. He was drunk. He had his girlfriend, and he was screaming at the girlfriend and just really humiliating her in public. And, like, you know, how it is. And then some other guy comes in there and says, hey, you know, that's not how you talk to a woman, and punches the guy in the nose. That's what's annoying. Well, I'm not saying somebody should have punched Tom Tillis in the nose, but I'm saying that's exactly what he was doing. He was acting like some sort of a deranged drunk man smacking around a woman, verbally, of course. So anyway, the first thing here, this lasted for 10 minutes, and this is breaking. This just happened. And I'm just wondering, all of you people in North Carolina, first of all, does this guy represent you? I mean, is this who you people sent to the U.S. Senate? And second of all, who are you voting for? You know, Michael Whatley is running, Don Brown running for the Republican primary. Who do you like in the Senate race there in North Carolina today? So first of all, the Tillis is grilling, and I mean it's just screaming at Kristi Noem about her dog. Many of you remember that she killed a dog. Shot it dead. Let's take a listen.
Secretary, I read your book last week. And honestly, some of the parts of it impress me, but some of it distresses me. And I'll give you a good example of one that does. The passage where you talk about killing a dog that was 14 months old. I train dogs, all right? And you are a farmer. You should know better. You should know that if you're going out to a hunting lodge and you're putting pheasants out and you're putting dogs out, you don't take a puppy out there. A 14-month-old dog is basically a teenager in dog years. You decided to kill that dog because you had not invested the appropriate time and training. And then you have the audacity to go into a book and say it's a leadership lesson about tough choices. It's in your book. We could play it if we had time. At that same lunch hour, you killed a goat. And you killed the goat because you said it was behaving badly. You are a farmer. You don't castrate a goat. They behave badly. You should have probably done that before. But my point is, those are bad decisions made in the heat of the moment. Not unlike what happened up in Minneapolis. I expect we're an exceptional nation. And one of the reasons we're exceptional is we expect exceptional leadership. And you've demonstrated anything but that in the time that I've seen you responding to the emergency in North Carolina and across the Southeast and acknowledging when mistakes are made and speaking too soon for the expedient of social media or whatever it is. I'll leave you with this, Ms. Noem. I'm expecting answers to Charlotte's Web. I requested it a month ago. That was one of the investigations in Charlotte, 20 minutes from where I live. All I asked for, if it had to be anonymized, was information so that I could determine if your hit rate is right. I want to find more of those people, and I want to detain fewer of the others.
My name is Tom Tallis, and I'm a yeller and a screamer because I'm really, really, really put off by women in power. And I love my dog, Secretary Noem. As a matter of fact, I held a Maudie Prawl parade. Yeah, he did, ladies and gentlemen. He did. He held a Mardi Gras parade. And he invited senators to dress their dogs up in costumes and parade them around the Capitol building. Now, people were rightly pointed out, by the way, about Senator Tillis. Wait a second. You people are saying you don't have time. And they literally have said, we don't have time to pass the Save America Act. We wish we had more time. We don't have enough time. We got too much work to do. And then they turn around and they're dressing. The senators are dressing their dogs up in costumes and they're parading them around the Capitol. I'm just wondering, why was Senator Tillis' dog in a dress? I believe that's a male dog. What are you alleging, Todd Starnes? Are you saying that my dog is transsexual? No, Senator, I'm not doing that. I'm certainly not saying that. Your dog prefers to wear drag or just likes to dress in ladies' clothes. I don't know. Well, them's fighting words. And if you're a woman, I'd take you out back and smack you around, sir. I have no doubt he would, Senator. So then, I mean, this is going on for 10 minutes. He's just screaming. The North Carolina senator screaming at Kristi Noem. Take a listen to this.
Wants out of the White House. We just want numbers. We want 1,000 a day, 6,000 a day, 9,000 a day, because numbers matter, right? No, they don't matter. Quality matters, not quantity, quality. And what we've seen is a disaster. Under your leadership, Ms. Noem, a disaster. What we've seen is innocent people getting detained that turn out are American citizens. I could talk about the culture that's been created here with Stephen Miller aiding and abetting. I heard first reports that he was the one that said it was a domestic terrorist situation where two people lost their lives in Minneapolis. I've heard that report. Maybe you can refute it. I don't know that we'll have time for you to respond because I'm giving you a performance evaluation here. I'm not looking for a response.
Wait, what?
And I'm saying, Ms. Noem, that time after time after time, I've been disappointed. But before I get back to looking at the vicious people that did this damage to these families, I want to talk a minute about FEMA. You have a policy right now that anything over $100,000 has to go through your desk for approval. I asked my staff, because I'm a management consultant, I don't try to do cheap shots in here, but the facts do not lie. This is your administration for FEMA response. This is President Trump's first administration. Which one would you like to have? If you're a state that has a $60 billion disaster,
Your biggest disaster in South Dakota that I can tell that when you were an elected official was about $500 million. So 1/100th of this single storm where thousands of people are hurting in North Carolina and you're just barely catching up. This is what competent FEMA leadership looks like. This is what incompetent FEMA leadership looks like. And people are hurting in Western North Carolina from the most significant storm they've ever experienced. This is what we need more of. I'm convinced you can't do it. If you're requesting a review of $100,000 and up, then it begs the question, why? Why would you be involved in that? Why would that be a policy?
So he goes on and on and on. I mean, the guy was just unhinged, and he's very upset because of the numbers of people that Kristi Noem and DHS are deporting. And you heard him there saying quality matter. I have no, what does that mean? Quality matters. No, it is, it's quantity. We need millions of these illegals deported. And this guy is, what is the clinical term I'm looking for? He is butthurt because Kristi Noem is going in there and they're deporting all of these people. And poor Kristi Noem is sitting there and she's trying to get a word in edgewise. Hush up, you woman. You're not allowed to talk, woman. You be quiet while I lecture you, woman. But you don't open your mouth. You don't speak, woman, unless you're spoken to. How dare you arrest all of the illegals that are working for me, madam? You want to talk about a disaster? Yeah, he did talk about a disaster right in his room. You want to talk about a disaster? Go look at my bathroom. Sweet Lord, I had Tex-Mex the other day. Got a little case of the Hershey squirts, and there's nobody to clean my bathroom because sweet Consuela got deported. Can we verify that's actually the senator who said that, Dylan? Let's get on that. Get our team on it. So there you have it. You people in North Carolina, are you embarrassed by this guy? And by the way, this is a John Cornyn situation. North Carolina sent a rhino to Washington, D.C., and that rhino, Tom Tillis, is one of the ones that's trying to hold up President Trump's agenda. I'm telling you, we have an opportunity to remedy this in both Texas and North Carolina by making sure that we elect America First candidates. I know everybody's supporting Michael Whatley. I will say, and I certainly hope that Michael Whatley will be an America First sort of a senator. But Don Brown seems to be the guy that really, truly is the America First candidate. And he's got a great track record and great background. Doesn't have a lot of name recognition, doesn't have a lot of money. But he's a good man. And that ought to count for something when it comes to these elections. I'm just saying. And all I can tell you is if you're a member of the animal kingdom and you're on Kristi Noem's farm, you better watch your back. I'm just telling you, just don't tick off Farmer Noem is what I'm trying to tell you. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. We're going to the phones. That's 901-260-5926. We do have some breaking news to share with you. Breaking news.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
This coming in from one of our exclusive CIA operatives who was able to acquire a private recording that President Obama reportedly made. Let's check in.
The following is an intercepted message from the United States to Iranian intelligence.
My fellow Iranians, do not despair. The resistance movement in America is still behind your goal to create a greater caliphate worldwide. And we commend your valiant efforts with no remaining navy to close the Strait of Hormuz with the Iranian women's synchronized swim team. Currently, our forces have been deployed to Minneapolis, Portland, Chicago, and New York. But we vow to take the fight to Washington, D.C. to hate Israel on your behalf. You know my deep feelings for jihad. I myself have sent you billions in cash, created a pathway to a nuclear weapon for your enjoyment, and supported the Islamic Republic in every way possible. And while I appreciate the offer to become the next Ayatollah, I think now is the time to stay and fight on here in the United States. Till then, I will be standing firm with whoever is in charge today. I am, as always, Barack.
If we don't stop them, or if we didn't stop them, or if we didn't start, they've been decimated. But if we didn't do what we're doing right now, you would have had a nuclear war, and they would have taken out many countries. Because you know what? They're sick people. They're mentally ill, sick people. They're angry. They're crazy. They're sick. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you there, Mr. President. That was President Trump just moments ago in the White House, the Oval Office. You know, it's interesting. Again, people are like, well, you know, why is Trump doing this? Did the Iranians really have, were they on their way to the having 11 nukes? The President of the United States has access to information and intel that the average American or even the above average American will never have access to. So when the president is making these sorts of decisions, and when the Joint Chiefs, and they're all meeting together, the Secretary of State, they are working off intel that you and I will never see. So just keep that in mind. A lot of you folks are working off intel you're getting from a guy with 26 followers on Twitter. Yeah, that's not what the president's working off of. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Jerry in Iowa. Jerry, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Brother Todd, praying for Israel and all our troops today. So I liked your recent caller saying no boots on the ground in Iran. And I just want to point out that recently Venezuela proved that the U.S. is able to learn that lesson. And got in, we got out. But I think it's a mistake to be comparing Iran and Iraq. And I think Iran is not Vietnam. It's not World War II. And are you really willing to gamble that Iran does not have 60% purified uranium? Nuclear bombs, 11 nuclear bombs is not the same as Iraq yellow cake. And American presidents, we stood by and let North Korea get nuclear weapons. But the Norks and the mullahs are different. One's evil, the other's insane. The mullahs, they're suicide bomber types. The ballistic missiles possessed by Iran, they're not imaginary. Funding October 7th was not imaginary. And Islam taking over England and France is also not imaginary. So gambling that somehow Donald Trump is wrong, and they're not on the verge, and that they don't have missiles that are going to be reaching the coast of the U.S. is really a foolish sort of a comparison to letting North Korea have nuclear weapons. One last thing: after Iraq and Iran wars, consider that there will be no major monster Islamic military forces in the Mideast.
Well, look, here's something that we need to factor into all of this. You know who's not rushing to the United Nations right now to stage protest votes and condemn the United States? You know who's not doing that, Jerry? Every single Arab nation in the Middle East. Nobody's complaining about this. As a matter of fact, we know that many of these nations are actually giving us the intel so that we can go in and perform these strikes. So everybody in that region knows exactly what Iran has been doing, and they want Iran stopped.
You know, I bet Barack Obama is confused that it's like, well, why are we not bombing them with $1.7 trillion in cash? He doesn't really understand what's happening right now.
Not a clue. All right, Jerry, got to run. Thanks for the call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, here's a Social Security update. You might want to pay attention to here, folks. 70 million Americans collect Social Security benefits. Millions more will soon join. Now, a new... No, Dylan, you've got a few more years. Sorry. A new study finds 70% of Americans don't get the full benefits they deserve. But recipients can use simple strategies to boost Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Now, Social Security expert Michael Allen says all of this is true, and he has five key strategies to increase your benefits. It's all in his free special report. Newsmax calls the report your best guide for bigger Social Security benefits. Whether you're getting benefits or soon will, you need this Social Security report, and you can get a free copy. All you have to do is call this number, write it down, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We will text it to you right away, along with President Trump's act cutting your Social Security taxes. So call now, 800-999-9690. Again, that's 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply there. All right, I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, the great Republican strategist, Josh Jones. Probably should add world traveler to that as well.
Yeah, I've been all over the place the last couple of weeks, Todd. All for work, all for the midterms, but it's been a lot.
You know, you have been out there, and you are representing a lot of candidates, and I'm just curious, what's the vibe? What is the mood out there?
I mean, the big thing today is we had the primary elections in Texas, a couple other states as well, Arkansas, North Carolina, but the big one everybody's looking at is Texas. And I do a lot of work down in Texas. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, I'm not involved in the Senate primary, but I'm doing a lot of these House races down there. And look, I think a lot of people are interested to see what the turnout is amongst Republican voters today. Is the base motivated to get out and get involved in these primaries, or is it just going to be at the true party people that are dedicated to coming out to every single election that show up, or are we going to have a broader swath with these competitive primaries?
You know, I was in Houston a couple of weeks ago and spoke to a group of Republican ladies there, and they are really fired up, and I think there's a lot of excitement around, you know, especially the Senate race, which is causing a lot of concern. And the reason why is that the Democrats are fielding two candidates as well, and that could cause a problem if the nominee, and that's what their argument is, it could cause a problem if the nominee is Ken Paxton, talking about James Tallarico, who is a state House member and seminary student, and he's going up against Jasmine Crockett.
Yeah, I mean, it's a true on both sides now. You have a really competitive Republican primary, but also a really competitive Democratic primary as well. On the Republican side of things, and you kind of already pointed it out, you have Ken Paxton, who's this kind of Trump-like figure. He's the current Attorney General of Texas, very, hardcore MAGA, so to speak. And then you have John Cornyn, who's also a big Trump ally, has helped him out a lot in Congress, especially during the first term in terms of getting his legislation through. And President Trump's kind of sitting on the sidelines of this one, not endorsing anybody. I was at the rally with the president in Texas a couple days ago, down in Corpus Christi. Both Ken Paxton and John Cornyn were both there, spoke to both of them, and Trump still didn't endorse either one of them, just saying they're both great guys. So he's kind of sitting on the sidelines for this one.
You know, it's interesting. The polling found that Tallarico and Crockett, that race has been all over the place, and several showing Crockett leading. However, you've got Crockett out there saying that Texas will never elect a black woman because they've got a race problem. I'm not sure that's going to endear yourself to potential voters.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great pitch because you have Jasmine Crockett, who is a burn it all down kind of Democrat who's, we don't want to bring in voters into the party. We just need people already have. Basically, she's not extending an olive branch to the other side of the aisle, whereas the other candidate, James, he's more of this, I would dub it a healer candidate, who is trying to like moderate things, bring things back to the middle, reach across the aisle. So it's really a defining moment for at least the Texas Democratic Party of, are they going to double down on this, radical leftist agenda, or are they going to go to somebody that's more of a moderate? We'll see what happens. But
know you. It's really strange. You had the president was just in what Corpus Christi last Friday, and he praised both Cornyn and Paxton, completely left out Wesley Hunt, you know, who's also running in that race, the congressman. But what I thought was interesting is that Leader Thune has been lobbying behind the scenes to get the president to back John Cornyn. That has not happened, and I wonder if a lot of that has to do with the fact that John Thune is not doing anything to get the SAVE Act across the finish line.
I mean, it could be possible. Look, I mean, it is a lot of the congressional leaders and a lot of congressional nonprofit organizations have been encouraging the president to endorse John Cornyn. I mean, John Cornyn's super PAC people even hired Trump's people. They hired Trump's pollster. They hired Trump's old campaign manager. They were really trying to get this Trump endorsement leading into the primary, and the president, like I said, just stayed on the sidelines. So you can, you know, argue all the different theories as to why he's done that, but I mean, it could be, you know, lack of congressional action. It could be maybe Trump sees a little bit of himself in Ken Paxton, who's this kind of outsider candidate who's had a lot of scandals but still in the running. I mean, there's a lot of things at play here.
You know, one of the other things here is turnout, and typically you're going to have pretty light turnout in these kinds of races. Early on, when you look at the polling data, this could get interesting. Wesley Hunt could be the spoiler here, and the reality is if no candidate gets a majority, the top two will go to a runoff election.
Yep. Texas is elect primary elections. That's how it works. If you don't get 50%, you go to a runoff, which will take place next month. And that's probably what we're on course for here, the Senate primary, at least, on the Republican side. With the three candidates, it's going to be very difficult for any of them to break 50%, especially with the polling that we've been seeing. So chances are this is going to a runoff. My bets would be that that's between Paxton and Cornyn. Who knows? Maybe Wesley Hunt can, you know, spice things up a little bit. But I think it's going to be Cornyn and Paxton. I think that's why President Trump didn't even bother mentioning Wesley Hunt. Even though I think he's a fan of him, he's just a serious contender in this race.
So, again, latest polling data coming out from Texas Emerson College polling. They've got Paxton with a slight edge over Cornyn. Again, if that really is reflective of what could happen today, then there probably will have to be some sort of a runoff because Hunt will no doubt pull votes away. He is a populist, so you would have to think that he might pull votes away from Paxton. On the other side of the aisle, you've got Tallarico now with a slight lead over Crockett. You know, I want to talk real quick about what's happening in North Carolina because these, again, are two very important states. And you've got Tom Tillis, who announced he is retiring. So you've got a free-for-all over there.
To your point, in Texas, it's kind of inverse of what we're seeing in Texas. Texas, we have an incumbent with a challenger who's just kind of political, more right-wing candidate. But North Carolina, like you mentioned, you have Tom Tillis, who's retiring and not seeking re-election. So it's just an open field over in North Carolina. And frankly, it hasn't been getting as much coverage as it should have been, but with Texas and the, you know, quite literally $100 million that's been spent there in this primary, it's drawn a lot of attention.
No doubt about it. And, of course, Michael Whatley there is the odds-on favorite. All right. You know, I'm curious, looking at what's been happening in Iran, it seems as though a lot of younger conservative voters are turned off by what's happening, the president's decision to strike Iran. Do you see this having any sort of an impact in the midterm elections?
I mean, we got a political eternity, so to speak, between now and the midterm election. So we'll see how it plays out, right? Because also, too, we have to see how the war progresses. I mean, this could be over in a couple weeks. This could drag on for months. Who knows, right? So I think it could have something to play with it, but I mean, Trump seems to, and the entire administration seem to be unified in the front of that. You know, this is something that hasn't happened. This is for our national security, and this is, you know, putting America first. And I think that's probably going to be the Republican message heading into the fall, but we'll see.
All right. Well, Josh Jones, we're going to leave it there. Do you have a website yet? We need to promote something. What do we promote here?
I mean, I got my Twitter account. I don't have a website.
So. All right. What's your Twitter handle?
It's Josh Jones DC.
Josh Jones, D.C., give Josh a follow on the socials. We got to get you a website. It kind of makes you official.
Yeah, that'll be next on the docket.
All right, put that on the to-do list. All right, the great Josh Jones, everybody, fresh off the campaign trail back in D.C., giving us a roundup of what's happening today in North Carolina and also in Texas and Arkansas. You folks are going to the polls today as well. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I've got to tell you about our good friend Mike Lindell. Mike and the MyPillow employees want to thank you for all the great support you've given them, and they're looking to make this year the best ever. And as a thank you to my listeners, MyPillow now offering free shipping on your entire order, and you're going to be able to get wholesale pricing. That means they're bringing back the mega sale exclusively for our listeners. For example, the classic MyPillows, normally $49.98, now marked down to only $14.98, and you're going to be able to turn any mattress into the best mattress ever with the Made in the USA MyPillow mattress topper. You're going to save up to $100. Now, to get all of these great specials, go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call them at 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. These offers will not last long, so call 1-800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to get into the Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton deposition videos. They just came out. I do want to play a little something here. Cut number one, please.
When you saw photos of your husband in a hot tub laying on a beach and getting massaged by other women, and you knew that Jeffrey Epstein was involved in some of these trips and these things, did it concern you at all?
I'm here not to offer my opinions. I'm here to answer specific questions to the best of my ability.
When you saw your husband in these photos with a young woman being massaged, what went through your mind?
I am not going to speculate.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband?
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Wow. Okay. I know many of you just got sick to your stomach with the visuals there of Bill Clinton in a hot tub. My apologies for that. But the idea, this is a woman, remember going all the way back to the 1990s. When you had all of those women coming out of the trailer parks talking about how much they enjoyed cavorting with Bill Clinton back when he was the governor of Arkansas. And what did Hillary Clinton do? She sat down and she said that she's not going to bake cookies and stand by her man. Well, you know what? She stood by her man. And the idea that she couldn't even, I don't know, muster the courage to acknowledge that she was angry. Here's what I think is going on with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. I don't think they're actually married anymore. I think it is a professional relationship they have. That's what I think is going on. So anyway, we'll get into more of that coming up in the next hour of the show. All right. Where is it? Matt Walsh. This was Matt Walsh a year. Matt Walsh is very upset now that President Trump is bombing Iran. But here's what he had to say a year ago, cut 11.
If it's actually true that Iran has tried to or is right now trying to kill our president, then absolutely we should invade the country and annihilate the whole regime. Obviously, when the United States should personally kill every person in the Iranian government if they're trying to assassinate our president. This is an act of war against us, and we would be totally justified in responding with overwhelming violent force. Now, you still can't go in and purposely kill civilians, but we would be. That's an act of war, and we should respond with our own act of war. If you try to kill our president, if you as a sovereign nation conspire to kill our president, we should go in and conquer and destroy you and wipe out anyone even vaguely involved in the plot. So I get called an isolationist a lot. And I mean, I don't care if you call me that or not. The labels don't mean anything to me. But I certainly believe that the United States can and should go to war to defend itself. And this would be a totally legitimate war of self-defense. So then it's weird that we haven't actually invaded Iran if they're actually trying to kill the president. If we have real intel, if we have real intelligence that that's actually happening or has happened and is happening, it's strange that they tried to kill Trump is mentioned as this kind of tangential secondary point. It's mentioned almost as an aside by the people who are in favor of intervention. And it's like, well, wait a second. Wait, did they try to kill Trump or not? Because if they did, why are we talking about nukes in Iran? Why are we talking about any? Why are we talking about Israel? Why are we talking about anything else? Like, if they did that, that's all we need to talk about. Go kill the bastards right now.
Okay, we're done. So that was Matt Walsh just last year. So now Matt Walsh is on the other side of this issue. I mean, you heard him say, we ought to go in. We ought to kill everybody. Here's what Matt Walsh is saying now. I can't take the gaslighting, guys. I really can't. Conservatives are now running around saying Iran has been waging war on us for 47 years. Okay, then, why didn't any of you call for an attack on Iran at any point until now? Why didn't you make a case for Trump's ending the war, not starting it until precisely the moment when Trump did it? You and I both know that you are latching onto a talking point you never used until 45 seconds ago. You and I both know that almost every conservative influencer in the business was opposed to war with Iran until just now. And now you're trying to use justifications. No, well, let me say this. I don't know who he's talking about, but it certainly is not this program, because we've been very clear from day one. As a matter of fact, I go back in your, a lot of people forget about this, but back in 2016, during the Obama administration, where Obama was doing the world apology tour, where Obama started the Arab Spring and pretty much caused civil wars across the Middle East, when Obama was sending airplanes filled with tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in cash to Iran, when U.S. Navy personnel were actually detained by the Iranians for 15 hours. Do you remember that? Those god-awful videos and the photographs of our Navy personnel being held at gunpoint by the Iranians after one of their boats drifted into Iranian territorial waters. Anybody remember that? How embarrassing that was? You think Iran would still be here if Trump had been president when that happened? I don't think so. So this has been going on for a very long time, ladies and gentlemen. And I appreciate Matt Walsh weighing in on the big culture war issues of the day and all these other people out there that are making millions of dollars based on a grift. They have been pretending to be conservative. They're playing a part, whether it be in a podcast or on TV. And it is time to put a stop to this. And the way you can do it is actually do your homework, and you can find out who really is authentic and who is not. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So we featured a couple of Gen Zers on the panel last night, Jackson Heberlin and Priya Patel. They are both America First conservatives, big supporters of President Trump, but they are very conflicted about what's happening right now in the Middle East, and specifically when it comes to Iran. Let's check in with our Gen Z panel. Well, joining me now is Priya Patel, a political commentator, and Jackson Heberlin, the chair of the Clemson University College Republicans. Good to have both of you with us. Priya, to you first. Certainly, you saw them reporting there, Iranian Americans celebrating the crumbling of the regime, and yet others are condemning President Trump. Where do you stand?
You know, I kind of stand a bit in the middle. You know, I am somebody that is particularly not a fan of regime change wars, particularly in the Middle East. And I'm very skeptical as to the outcome of this conflict and how that's going to affect both Americans and Iranians. Now, that doesn't mean that I sympathize with the Iranian regime in the slightest. To be quite frank, I'm certainly not shedding any tears that their leadership is now blown to smithereens in the desert sand. They have no sympathy from me in that aspect. But I'm very skeptical as to how this is going to impact, you know, our relations with the country. But on top of that, American lives and American tax dollars, to be frank with you.
Jackson, before we let you weigh in, I want to play something from Jonathan Carl over on ABC. He had a conversation with Tucker Carlson, and here's what he had to say.
And this is what Tucker Carlson told me of the president's decision to attack Iran. Keep in mind, Tucker Carlson is a prominent supporter of Donald Trump, spoke at his convention, was at the White House as recently as last week. And Tucker Carlson told me it is absolutely disgusting and evil. So I think that there is the potential for significant blowback from some of the president's strongest supporters for what's just happened.
All right, Jackson, do you agree with Carlson here, or are you taking the side of the White House?
I can definitely say that I agree with Carlson in many ways in the statement. I do think that we will see rabid blowback from a lot of the Trump's strongest supporters, and I feel as though I am one of them. Like many Americans, I've grown tired of endless wars in the Middle East, and I feel as though time and time again we've been led with an easy war that will be quick and has a really good reason to occur. And yet I see it as very, very rare that these things turn out the way that we want them to. I'm very skeptical of regime change like Priya, and I can say for me at least, this has rapidly decreased my trust in the presidency and in our current administration.
Priya, I want to bring up on the screen something Congresswoman former Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene wrote on X. And just like that, we are no longer a nation divided by left and right. We are now a nation divided by those who want to fight wars for Israel and those who just want peace and to be able to afford their bills and health insurance. Is that a representative view of Gen Z Americans?
Yeah, I would say it is largely. You know, for me personally, I think the administration, despite the fact that I largely trust them when it comes to foreign policy, I mean, President Trump has the best foreign policy record of any president, especially in my lifetime, but they did a really, really terrible job at justifying how this actually benefits the American people, at least prior to going in and bombing Iran. Now, I still would argue that the justification as to how it benefits us directly is still largely unclear. I guess, or I understand that they claim that these were preemptive attacks and that they were anticipating Iran having blowback from Israel attacking them. I still don't understand why that is particularly justified in risking American lives with our troops. And we've currently, I believe, the death toll of our troops is currently six from this conflict. And I still struggle to understand the arguments for it, and I'm still remain skeptical, but I really pray that we can get in and out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I want to bring Jackson back into this. So look, Jackson, the reality is the Iranians are responsible for thousands and thousands of American deaths going all the way back to 1979, and every single president punted the ball and refused to crack down on Iran until Donald Trump. So the debate is whether or not what the president did is representing America first. But would it not be to our advantage to take out a country that was going to do us harm?
Well, you have to say, will it actually do us that harm? I think time and time again, we have seen it to where we have a very, very good reason to engage in a Middle Eastern conflict. Yes, Iran has done great bad to us, but so did Iraq, so did Afghanistan. And yet, I think in hindsight, we can all agree that these wars were in some ways a failure. So I feel as though, yes, I can agree that Iran is a very evil force. I'm not weeping for the Ayatollah. I feel no sorrow for him or for any of the evil Iranian regime, and I love the Iranian people. But I have to say that I also love our American servicemen. And if we don't actually get a concrete benefit out of this, I would hate to see American soldiers die in vain.
Jackson, I want to give you the last word here. We've only got a few seconds. Do you have any concerns this could have an impact on turnout for the midterms on the side of the Republicans?
I think it will have great impact. Just talking to students at my college today, I know that even students who I would consider conservative consider this an ardent failure of our administration. And it's a reality that we will have to deal with. You look at approval rates for the Iranian war, currently some polls show them as low as 27%. Typically within the first week of a war, that is our highest approval rating. So that's very dangerous numbers, especially electorally. So I can say I do see it likely that we will see an electoral impact, which is very unfortunate to me.
All right, there you go. That at least was the viewpoint of two very conservative young people. And again, when it comes to explaining why we did what we did, I think the president is going to have to come out and do a press conference. These private phone messages, they're not working. And especially when you've got massive platforms of people like the Tuckers and the Carls and the Candace Owens and the MTGs out there, the president is going to have to be dealing with a lot of pushback from his own side of the aisle here. All right, what do you tell these young people that are opposed to what we're doing? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I've got to tell you, I'm still holding steady 13 pounds. I'm not sure how many pounds a day you're supposed to lose. I think it's every couple of days you drop a pound or two. But anyway, it has been a lot of fun so far. And it hasn't, I don't feel like I'm on a diet, to be blunt about it. And I know a lot of people out there, you guys have tried like the keto and the Weight Watchers. You've done what, the intermittent fasting. And the thing is, you do lose weight. There's no doubt about it. But the problem is it comes right back. And then you end up always blaming yourself and you say, oh, I don't have the willpower. You know, you don't have the discipline. But it's really not about willpower. There's one thing that actually determines whether your body burns fat or stores fat. And if you don't fix that first, well, every single diet that you do is going to fail, which is why I've decided to hang out with PhD Weight Loss. This is a team that I trust, and I am losing weight under their program, and I'm excited about that. By the way, write down this number, 864-644-1900. I'll share that again later. PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they build a plan around it that works for you, not against you. It's all very personal. So if you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program. They're going to pay for your food. They're going to pay for everything. And you will be able to see, again, there are no strings attached. You're going to be able to see for yourself real results without more trial and error. So I want you to go and check them out. Give them a call. Mention Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S. There's not going to be any more guessing. No, you're just going to get answers. More importantly, you're going to get results. So I want you to give them a call, 864-644-1900. And say Starnes. You can also go to myphdweightloss.com. That's myphdweightloss.com. Use my last name, Starnes, and they're going to give you 2 free weeks. Folks, trust me, you are going to see a difference. We'll be right back. All right, if you miss a segment of the Todd Starnes Radio Show, we've got a solution for that, and it doesn't cost you anything at all. Just go to toddstarnes.com. You can download our podcast, all 3 hours of the radio show, free of charge, and we'd love for you to get a subscription to that. Also, sign up for our newsletter. It comes out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We don't like to clog up your inbox. And it is filled with all sorts of great original content, original stories, and commentary, and we would love for you to check that out. Again, all available to you at toddstarnes.com. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Say hello to William in Moorhead City, North Carolina. Hi, William. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, great show as always. It occurs to me that our country was founded on, we had to fight for our freedom. And I believe the Iranian people should be allowed to fight for their freedom. The young people who are denigrating our president for what has just happened,
They never went to Vietnam. We didn't even know what we were fighting for. We knew we were fighting for our country because our president, that's what he asked us to do. And that's what we did. And right now, we have a chance, they have a chance, I should say. They have a chance to change their world, to change the Middle East. And I think that we need to let them do that, but it's going to have to be up to the Iranian people. They have to make up the decision that they're going to stand up and fight for themselves.
You know, that's an interesting point you're bringing up, William. And the one thing I haven't seen, I mean, I think on Sunday we saw the people, you know, celebrating, dancing in the streets, and I get that, and that's great. What I haven't seen are the good people of Iran taking to the streets and, you know, taking their country back. Now, part of that could be because they don't have any weapons. Only the bad guys have weapons in Iran. Only the Revolutionary Guard units have the weaponry. So that could be a part of it. But I think I get where you're coming from on that.
My ancestors used pitchforks. They used shovels and pitchforks. They used whatever they had. And they won. We are a nation today because they refused to be subjugated to bad people who wanted to control them. The Iranians have the means. It's called their hands. And whatever means they have, do it. Now is the time. This is a point in history. They will never get back. They need to stand up together. It's amazing what you can do if you all stand together. That big group of people standing together, all of a sudden the tyrants are going to say, uh-oh, we might better leave town.
Well, let's see what happens. Again, we're only a few days into the war, so we'll see how all of this will eventually play out. I would draw the line personally at American boots on the ground, ladies and gentlemen. William, thank you for that call. There's no reason why we need to have American troops over there. Like the president said, the mission here was to go in and eradicate their nuclear program, get rid of their missile sites. We've already destroyed their air force. The Navy's at the bottom of the Mediterranean. So there's really no need for us to have troops on the ground. We saw what happened in Afghanistan. We saw what happened in Iraq. I mean, it's really that simple. All right. Hillary Clinton. Can we play this audio for you? Hillary Clinton is having something of a meltdown after someone snuck a photo out of the private deposition. Take a listen to Cut 8.
I have another photos that are being released of the secretary as she is testifying from inside this room. Can you please advise me as to whether or not that's permissible and consistent with the rules, particularly given that we have asked for a public hearing? If there are photos that are being released of the secretary as she is testifying, can you please explain how that
can occur? I'm done with this. If you guys are doing that, I am done. You can hold me in contempt from now until the cows come home. This is just typical behavior.
We will go off the record.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I would like to understand how that's permissible.
Before the hearing was...
It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
I will take that down.
Yeah,
so
well,
I would like to take a break at this moment.
Yeah,
I'd like to have a conversation
for now.
Go off the record. Go off the record.
Wow. Can you imagine being married to that? I'm just throwing that out there. Every time you hear Hillary speak, you sort of feel bad for Bill, right? You sort of had a better understanding of who Bill Clinton is and maybe why he had to seek comfort with a number of hairdressers and interns over the years. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying, okay, I understand. I mean, it was either that or becoming an alcoholic. I don't know, but geez, Alou, every day. Cut number 7.
That's the question. I'm going to answer your question.
Now you're going to yell
this
at me.
This was what I spent
you're
my time doing.
I'm a survivor trying to look out for other survivors.
Well,
trying to
and I was taking care of the people who lost 3,000 lives.
And now you're being defiant and indignant today.
You asked me about
Howard Lutnick.
I have
met with Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You've denied that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did not.
Howard Lutnick was
using an email with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for you.
I don't know about it.
Stay out of it, buddy. Just stay out of it.
At his offices at Cantor Fitzgerald. You're going to sit here today and obfuscate and say to this committee, you didn't try to get money from Jeffrey Epstein when there was an intimate event in an email that Howard Lutnick emailed to Epstein's people and Epstein to get him to come to your intimate event at Cantor Fitzgerald, a very small event. And so I'm not going to put up. You want to yell at me, that's fine, but I'll yell right back.
Well,
okay? I am looking out for survivors. I'm doing the job that you would not do and refuse to do as Secretary of State. Thank you, and I yield back to
Congressman. No, I'm going to finish answering the question, which I have a right to do. I am very sympathetic to your personal situation. I have read about it. I have seen you testify or speak on the floor about it. And I very much sympathize with not only what you went through, but appreciate your effort to stand up for survivors. I was a senator representing the people who were murdered on 9/11. Nobody lost more people than Howard Lutnick. You can say whatever you want. You can call him and have him appear before the committee. But I knew him. I knew him as the man who lost the employees that he knew intimately, including his brother.
All right. Just a smidge of the testimony and all of this now being released to the public. We're never going to get to the bottom of the whole Epstein thing. Nobody's ever going to be arrested. Nobody's going to be charged. A lot of very powerful people are going to get away with it. And that's... The Republicans, again, they can throw great hearings, but nothing ever comes of the hearings. And keep in mind, we're well over a year into almost a year and a half now into the Trump presidency. And no one's been charged for any of the crimes from Russia, all the way to the Hunter Biden laptop scandal to the Epstein stuff. Nothing is being done about that, and nothing is going to be done about it. They ran for office making all of these promises, but at the end of the day, I don't see anybody being held accountable here at all. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We've got a big show coming up tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Stearns Show, a very busy news day. We'll have the very latest coming from Iran, also live reports coming from Tel Aviv as well. And we're going to be following the special, or rather the primary elections today in North Carolina, Texas, and Arkansas. This story out of Sarasota, Florida, Northport High School, now facing the wrath of atheists. The baseball team has a chaplain who is affiliated with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The other day, the Sarasota chapter of the FCA posted a message on Facebook saying they were praying over each coach and each player by name. That's a nice thing. Dylan used to play baseball.
This is true, yeah.
Would you appreciate somebody praying for you?
Absolutely, yeah.
And for the utter destruction of your opponents?
That's a good addition, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that's good. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, they are outraged over all of this. They're a Wisconsin-based group of atheist predators. I think we've covered them a lot over the years on this show, and they target these towns and communities. They're on a mission to remove God from the public marketplace, and in this case, from the baseball diamond. The atheists say it is unconstitutional and inappropriate for public school athletic programs to allow an adult to serve as a chaplain. Let me ask you a question. You really think that's true, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that to be true? The atheists are calling on the district to investigate and then ban the Fellowship of Christian Athletes from serving as chaplains. May I say something about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes? May I, for just a moment. Fine, fine people. Incredibly wonderful ministry. Just the nicest people around. But they don't like fighting back. They really don't. And we do these kinds of stories. We cover this all the time. And the FCA coming under attack just about every school campus in America. And every time we reach out to them, well, you know, we're just good Christian people, and we deserve what's coming to us. Really? This is America. You don't know. You can actually fight back. As a matter of fact, you're obligated to. Well, that's just not what we would do. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Jesus would fight back. I don't want to presume to speak for Jesus, but I certainly think he would. So let me ask you a question here. These FCA folks, and they really confound, oh, you know who the other ones are, the Gideons. Fine people. There are no finer people than the Gideons. They're getting thrown out of every school in America, right? And they don't want to, they never want to come on the show. They never want to do a press release. They don't want to send out any, you know, they just feel like it's, I don't know, beneath them, or it's the Christian thing to do. So let me ask you, your job as a Gideon is to give those little New Testaments to the godless heathen children, right? So, and that's what they are. I mean, they can't help themselves. They're born that way. So your mission in life, your ministry, is to give these children God's word, and now you're not even allowed to step foot on a school. And so why would you not want to say something? I just, these kinds, that thinking, it's beyond me. So anyway, I don't know what the school's going to do here, but the FCA, they provide chaplains to high school and middle school athletic teams. And I think that is a noble thing to do. But we did a little bit of research on this, and there is nothing unconstitutional about a high school baseball team having a chaplain, a volunteer chaplain, and a grown adult chaplain. There's nothing unconstitutional about that. But a lot of times when these school districts see the word atheist, they pee themselves and then they surrender. It's sad. It's really sad. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, Congressman Pete Sessions from Texas dropping by the show. Let's take a listen. Well, joining me now to discuss, Congressman Pete Sessions from Texas. Congressman, good to have you with us. I think we all thought about what was going on when those reports first came out. But now, as we're beginning to get more information, what concerns you about what we're learning?
Well, certainly we understood, the president understood, the world understood that there would be people who would be opposed to this. And they are people who are Muslim fundamentalists. They are people who represent terrorist organizations, Hezbollah, and certainly others. The Iranian people, certainly Ayatollah, has had an opportunity when President Biden was in office to come across our border to infiltrate the United States. I don't know enough about this particular instance, about where he came in, how long he was here. But I do know this, that they are not, he is not the only one who the FBI currently has under a viewpoint. And I am not saying that he stood out. This is all to be determined. But what we're learning is that we know that we have a problem with security here, which is a key reason why Congress should come back right now. And our Democrat friends should vote to fund the rest of Homeland Security. This is increasingly going to be, as we move forward, an issue that politically they are going to have to fade this heat. They are going to have to understand it is their vote. It is their viewpoints that are causing us not to fully fund the Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, and the Coast Guard.
And Congressman, as we saw in Austin, I mean, putting lives in danger as well. I mean, this is just reprehensible what had happened. Do you anticipate the Democrats actually deciding to put politics aside and do the right thing?
Well, certainly as time goes on and certainly as the administration has done their own reevaluation, which they said they would do, it was upon them to do that. Yes, I believe that the issue that was being handled has been defused, and it's a two-way street. And I, as a conservative Republican, I'm not going to say it's okay for an ICE agent not to wear his mask, but certainly anyone else can do that. It was dangerous for our law enforcement officers. It was a bad position for the Democratic Party to hold to all their members to. And it's certainly wrong for them to hold out now. I can't imagine the real thinking behind the rank and file member who would allow this to continue.
You know, Congressman, I want to go back inside the bar. What happened at Buford's on that late Saturday night, early Sunday morning? Just a lot of young people having a good time over the weekend. We're not going to show the videos. They're just far too graphic. But in the aftermath, what really struck me were the number of just people in the bar that were rushing to tend to the wounded and doing whatever they could do. The police officers there in less than 60 seconds. What does that tell you about the people there in the Lone Star State?
I think it says a lot. Austin, Texas is, as people know and understand, probably not our most conservative town. But I think deep down, many Texans would want to come to the aid of other people, would see what was involved there. But let's be honest about this. The police department in Austin, Texas, was there on the spot as quickly as possible, and they took immediate action, and they did the right thing. And we have not only seen what kind of violence can take place when these people are successful, and I consider the man was successful to injure as many as he did, but it was an immediate response, and I'm proud of law enforcement and proud of these mostly young people, students from the University of Texas, standing up to do the right thing.
Before we let you go, Congressman, what's the word for the rest of the country? We've been told that there are so many sleeper cells. We don't know what came across that border during the Biden administration. How dangerous is it for people these days?
Well, what's interesting is that just like in Washington, D.C., when the president, even though we had at Thanksgiving or Christmas two National Guardsmen who one murdered and one shot seriously, we have learned that having effective law enforcement, effective people who are on the streets works. It has worked in Washington, D.C. I walked around Washington of the last 10 days or so. National Guard are still in the downtown area. We've had, the way I understand it, at least a month and a half where there were no murders. And I think people have understood that effective law enforcement works. When you put cops on the street, when you put people and back them up, and they can use the correct policing methodology, you avoid crime, you avoid murders, and people being afraid. So I'm very proud of our federal and local and state law enforcement. In Texas, we have a good number of sheriffs and sheriff's deputies, law enforcement officers, police, proud of what they did.
All right, there you go. That's Congressman Pete Sessions out of Texas on the latest. Have you noticed how that story, Buford's, has just fallen off the news cycle? Nobody wants to talk about what happened at that bar. This was radical Islamic terrorism, once again, on American soil. This guy was waging jihad in the name of the religion of peace. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, we are waiting for the Trump administration to brief Congress on the latest regarding Iran, where things are at right now. It is very odd that the Iranians, I mean, yeah, they're firing missiles back here and there, But I'm really surprised by the lack of a response coming out of the Iranians, especially when we were told that these people were a threat to the entire world. But now, of course, their Navy and Air Force have been obliterated, and we have now air superiority over the entire country of Iran. Very interesting. By the way, here is Megyn Kelly. She says there are massive divisions in the MAGA movement. Is that true? Are there massive divisions in the MAGA movement, or is it just the social media influencers? 901-260-5926, our number for you to weigh in. Let's listen to Megyn Kelly, Cut 12.
First and foremost, I, Megyn Kelly, am praying for the troops. I mean, that's where my mind immediately went. The guys and the gals who have to actually carry out this mission, why again? And put their lives on the line, for whom again? Are the ones who are on my mind, and I prayed for them mightily yesterday and the day before, and I hope you have and will continue to as well. Look, there are massive divisions over what we've done here, and people are going to change their minds over the coming days and weeks one way or the other. But my own feeling is no one should have to die for a foreign country. I don't think those four service members died for the United States. I think they died for Iran or for Israel. I think I understand how this helps Iran perfectly well. I get it. I mean, I hope. Long term, we'll see. But they seem rather jubilant. 80% of the country does not support the Ayatollah. He was a terrible, terrible man. No one's crying that he's dead. No normal person. But our government's job is not to look out for Iran or for Israel. It's to look out for us. And this feels very much to me like it is clearly Israel's war. Mark Levin wanted it. It's his war. Ben Shapiro, Lindsey Graham, Miriam Madelson. That's obvious. They're the ones who've been pushing us into this. But in case you had any doubt whatsoever, the Washington Post is reporting it explicitly this morning. Explicitly. About why we did what we did and when we did it. In the briefing on Tuesday for the Gang of Eight, which consists of the leaders of the House, the Senate, and each chamber's intel committees, Secretary of State Marco Rubio indicated to lawmakers that the mission's timing and goals were shaped by the fact that Israel was going to attack with or without the United States, according to a person familiar with the outreach to lawmakers. So the only debate that seemed to be remaining was whether the U.S. would launch in concert with Israel or if the U.S. would wait until Iran retaliated on U.S. military targets in the region and then engage. That sounds perfectly right. I think you knew that before you heard me read it from the Washington Post. So Israel said they were going to do it. Tucker Carlson said this on the show on Thursday. He said exactly that.
You know, here's what gets me about Megyn Kelly, the hubris here, saying that these individuals who died, and we now understand what six U.S. service members have lost their lives. They wore the uniform of this country. They died for America, ma'am. They did not die for some foreign country. They died for the United States of America. That's who they died for. Let's go to Jerry in Cleveland, Georgia. Jerry, what say you? Hello, Jerry.
Hey, this is Terry.
Terry, my apologies.
Yeah, that's fine. I called you once before, but I was the first time on the radio, and I was talking really fast. So, anyway.
But, Terry, got to get to it, man. We're going to run out of time here. So what do you want to say?
Megyn, she's an idiot. You know, this war is about all the people who died from 79. I went into service right out of high school in 79 because of the invasion they did on our embassy and took all them hostages. And I was in boot camp and Reagan had them all released. But, you know, those servicemen have died this time around in vengeance of all the ones who got killed before. All the Marines, 238 Marines, and so many, and 8 or 9 Navy guys, thousands of maimed and injured men since then, in Iraq and Afghanistan, not to mention the ones that were killed. So she's an idiot, doesn't know what she's talking about. They've been at war with us since 79, and everybody's been crying around and you know, beating a can down the road and somebody's finally doing something about it. And that's the way it should be.
Well, it should have been done a long time ago. And as Donald Trump said, and Terry, thank you for the call. As Donald Trump said back, 40 years ago, he spoke for just about every single American when he said that we should have gone in and taken out Iran when they took our hostages. And many of you were not alive during that time. I was in junior high school, and I remember people were marching in the street. There was outrage that we allowed Iran to treat Americans like that. And people were furious. There was a song that was popular back in the day. Bomb, 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 Iran. I mean, even the musicians of America were outraged over this. And this has been festering for generations. And finally, Donald Trump is doing something about it. And I'm glad he's doing something about it. Absolutely glad, and I hope you are as well. All right, we're going to continue the conversation tonight on the Todd Stern Show, Newsmax 2, 5 o'clock Eastern. Tomorrow, we're going to be right back at it right here, noon o'clock on the radio. In the meantime, head over to toddstearns.com, read our stories, download the podcast, buy a book, have some fun, chill out, leave a couple of comments. Folks, get out there, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.